All right, thank you very much for being here tonight, and we're thankful for the memories that we get to make with our young people. By the way, this is the start of their journey. This is K-5 graduation, but in just a couple of years, they'll have their junior high graduation, and then their high school graduation, and then they can pay for their own food from there, amen. And anyhow, we're excited that you're here tonight. I understand that we have some visitors, so thank you for visiting Pacific Baptist Church, and we hope that on another occasion you can make it back, like this Sunday. You're welcome back anytime. And then also, I understand that we've had a lot going on so far this evening, so I'm going to try to get right into it. So I apologize in advance if I appear to be rushed. But anyhow, you can all focus over there because I'm a little nervous right now, so I'm fine with that. But let's do this. In just a little bit, I'm going to have you stand. But before I do, I kind of like to talk about this message that I believe that God has laid upon my heart to share with you. And by the way, it's a privilege for me to be able to be here growing up in our church, not quite as young as they are, but being a 7th and 8th grader growing up here and now being able to stand here as a 32-year-old, being able to preach in the very church that has invested in my life. That is a great honor, and thank you for everybody that has invested in my life. Anyhow, let's do this. Turn your Bibles to 1 Samuel chapter number 17, and if you'll stand together with me, I know we've been sitting for a while, but 1 Samuel chapter number 17, the truth is, if I did not tell you the reference of the story this evening, and all I said was turn your Bibles to what you would deem as probably one of the most exciting passages of Scripture that is filled with action, that is filled with excitement. No doubt, I think at least the majority of you would have turned to 1 Samuel chapter number 17. Here we find the very popular story of David and Goliath. Now, I believe this story is popular for a very clear reason. Number one, it's popular because God has used this story to show his great power. Amen. It's popular for a very important reason, and I believe that we can get something from that this evening. If you'll look at me with a couple of verses here, we'll read verse number 1 down to verse number 11, and then we'll open up in prayer, and then I'll let you be seated. But let's look at verse number 1 together now. The Bible says, "Now the Philistines gathered together their armies to battle, and were gathered together at Shochoh, which belongeth to Judah, and pitched between Shochoh and Azekah in Ephesdamim. And Saul and the men of Israel were gathered together and pitched by the valley of Elah and set the battle in array against the Philistines." Array means basically that they were in battle formation. They were getting ready to fight one another in no time. In verse number 3, the Bible says, "And the Philistines stood on the mountain on the one side," if you can visualize this with me, "and Israel stood on the mountain on the other side, and there was a valley in between them. And there was a champion that went out, there went out a champion out of the camp of the Philistines named Goliath," very familiar name, "of Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. And he had an helmet of brass upon his head, and he was armed with a coat of mail, and the weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of brass. And he had greaves of brass upon his legs, and a target of brass between his shoulders, and the staff of his spear was like a weaver's beam, and his spear's head weighed 600 shekels of iron, and one bearing a shield went before him." Basically, I did a little bit of research to find different things depending on where you look. But some scholars say that Goliath was anywhere between 9'6" to 9'9". That's a pretty tall man. And he had about 273 pounds of armor on him. I'm about 150 pounds, so you can imagine he carried about two of me for protection. Of course, I wouldn't be very much protection. But he had a lot of protection on him. His spear alone weighed between 15 to 20 pounds. Many of us can't even lift that. So you can imagine what a great warrior he was, and you can imagine the intimidation that he created just by walking by people. Follow me in verse number 8, please. The Bible says, "And he stood and cried unto the armies of Israel and said unto them, Why are ye come out to set your battle in array? Am not I a Philistine, and ye servants to Saul? Choose you a man for you, and let him come down to me. If he be able to fight with me and to kill me, then will we be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then shall ye be our servants and serve us." And the Philistine said, "I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together." A lot is at stake here. What we see is a very clear challenge. And a lot is at stake. It's a matter of living a life of freedom or living a life of bondage. You see, if the children of Israel could not come up with a warrior, somebody that was willing to fight against this massive giant, they would automatically be servants to the Philistines by default and be slaves. But if they were able to come up with a champion that was able to defeat Goliath, they would be the victors and they would not have to be the slaves. So let's see the response of the children of Israel. The Bible says in verse number 11, when Saul and all Israel heard these words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for the privilege that we have to open up the Bible, to be able to preach thy word with boldness, to be able to hear instructions for life. And I don't think it's an accident for anybody to be here tonight. And I also don't think it's an accident that we're preaching from this passage of scripture. My prayer with all boldness, Lord, is that we would get something from the message tonight that we can apply in our lives so we can be better Christians for the purpose of Christ. We love you and we need you. Please meet with us in Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. As I mentioned, a lot is at stake here. There's a challenge that's being issued. We have to understand that sometimes in life, there are moments that we're afraid. But those moments present opportunities for us to be significant for something. It's kind of embarrassing, but I didn't think of a title for this message, Brother Jeremy, until I got here. I thought maybe that might be a good idea, amen? Significant for Christ. If you don't like that message, a title, you can entitle it something else. But whenever we're faced with these opportunities to be significant, we have the opportunity to either step up and do something for God or back down and cowered away or fly away like balloons. Amen. That's the opportunity that's being presented here. Israel needed somebody to stand up. Israel needed somebody to be willing to be courageous and be bold and to stand up against this giant because what was at stake? For the most part, the children of Israel are very fearful. I believe that deep inside everyone's heart, there's a desire to be significant for something. In my own heart, as a dad now, as a husband, as a Christian school teacher, I want to be significant. I'm 32 years old, and I have no idea how long God is going to allow me to live, but if he allows me to live 5 years, I want 5 more years of significance. If God allows me to live 20 more years, I want 20 more years of significance. I don't want to sit down in my bedroom or on my chair and waste my life away without accomplishing what God has for me. I want to be significant, and I believe you feel the same way. But there are some people out there that want to be significant for the wrong cause. Some men live for causes that are at best nothing but vanity and vexation of spirit. A couple things I researched here. If Japanese kamikaze pilots would die for the effeminate emperor in island of the rock in a lost cause, then there is something overwhelming. There's an overwhelming cause for baptized believers to live for the King of Kings. If Muslim terrorists would blow themselves up for the moon god of the Arabians in an infantile book composed by an illiterate nomad, all to be significant for their false god, surely we can live for the Lord of Lords. If priests and nuns can take vows of celibacy and poverty for the devilish lies of Roman Catholicism, all to be significant in the Catholic Church, surely we should be zealous and be significant for the cause of Christ. How about it this evening? Do you want to be significant for God? Are you tired of wasting your life away? Every year that goes by, every year that you celebrate a birthday, it should not just be a time where you celebrate living another year. It ought to be a time where you celebrate living it for God. Amen. Let's look down at verse number 20 here. Let's go back to our story. Up to this point, up to verse number 20, David is not a part of this story here, and we understand that he's the hero of this story. You're familiar with this passage of scripture. The Bible says in verse number 20, and David rose up early in the morning and left the sheep with the keeper and took and went as Jesse had commanded him, and he came to the trench as the host was going forth to the fight and shouted for the battle. For Israel and the Philistines had put the battle in array, army against army. And David left his carriage in the hand of the keeper of the carriage and ran into the army and came and saluted his brethren. And as he talked with them, behold, there came up the champion by name out of the armies of the Philistines and spake according to the same words that he's been speaking for the last 40 days and 40 nights. Nothing has changed. The challenge is still there. The mocking is still there. But something is different about it this time. David hears it. David hears it. You see, sometimes there are a lot of problems that go on in our lives and maybe in our ministries and in our families, and those problems repeat themselves on a daily basis. But when that one individual that wants to be significant, when that one individual that has a desire to make a change and make a difference for the cause of Christ, when he hears it, things change. Things get resolved, and so it does happen here. The Bible says in verse number 24, after David heard these words, all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him and were sore afraid. And the men of Israel said, have you seen this man that has come up? Surely to defy Israel is he come up, and it shall be that the man who killeth him, the king will enrich him with great riches and will give him his daughter and make his father's house free in Israel. So up to this point, David is already motivated. It's something boiling inside of him just because of the fact that the giant is mocking the armies of the living God. But to top it all off, David has a little bit of incentive now. He's going to get some money if he makes this challenge. He might even get the king's daughter. Now, that could be a good thing or a bad thing, depending on how she looks. Amen. It's not given that princesses are beautiful, only in Disney, I guess. Not that I have something for cartoons. All right, moving right along here. Anyways, let's look at verse number 27 here where I left off, saying, "What shall be done to the man that killeth the Philistine and taketh away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that should defy the armies of the living God?" He's taking a little bit of pride here, number one, for his nation, and number two, for his God. And the people answered him after this manner, saying, "So shall it be done to the man that killeth him." Verse number 28, "And Eliab, his eldest brother, heard when he spake unto the men, and Eliab's anger was kindled against David. And he said, Why camest thou down hither? And with whom hast thou left those few sheep in the wilderness? Your one responsibility. I know thy pride and the naughtiness of thine heart, for thou art come down that thou mightest see the battle." You see, his older brother misunderstood him. His older brother thought that he came to the battle for no other reason than to be curious, for no other reason than to be nosy, for no other reason than to be naughty. But something was different about David. The verse number 29, the Bible says, "And David said, What have I now done? Is there not a cause? Is there not a cause?" I believe David, with his whole heart, looked at his brother and said, "What are you yelling at me for? What are you harping at me for? You've got everybody cowering away after all the victories that God has brought for the children of Israel. All these men are fearing this giant that's 9'6" and wearing 273 pounds of armor. Well, our God is bigger and our God is able, and we should not be fearing. Is there not a cause to stand up against this army? Are we not going to be slaves?" He understood the cause. He understood the need, and that's my first point this evening. In order to be significant for God, we must see the cause. We must see the need. There are many needs represented in our lives, and I can list them forever tonight, but I'd like to start off, number one, as a member of Pacific Baptist Church, visitors, I apologize for this, but as a member of Pacific Baptist Church, we must understand that there is a need for you and I to get involved. There is a need. This church is a wonderful place to come to sing the congregational songs, to shake people's hands, to greet one another, to listen to preaching. But somewhere down the line, we've got to be able to be moved from the pew and moved to service and contribute for the cause of Christ. We got to get involved. We got to get involved. Those numbers on that board over there, that's because people are getting involved and getting on a bus route and picking up 22 and picking up 28 and picking up 21 and picking up 13 and picking up 27 and picking up 12. There are people that are getting involved, and that's why this ministry is going forward. And praise God for the staff around here, and praise God for the bus captains, and praise God for the ushers, and praise God for the song musicians and those that sing in the PA people. Praise God for that. But we still need you. We still need you. We may have a bus captain out there that's going to explode on the bus route one day, but it ain't going to happen if you don't get off your seat and volunteer. We may have somebody in here that can finish off that building over there, but it's never going to happen unless you see the need and see the cause. And by the way, I'm thankful for being a part of Pacific Baptist Church, because based on the numbers last week and based off other victories that we've been able to celebrate together as a church, I understand that I'm in a church filled with members that see the need and see the cause. I forget the number exactly, Brother Myers, but I believe we're up a great percentage from our giving last year. We see the need. We see the cause. How about it this evening? Do you see the cause for you to be involved at Pacific Baptist Church? There are victories to be won. The work of God must go forward. You are needed. Do you see the cause and the need for you to walk with God? I believe if we are not careful, even in my own life, we can be very complacent as Christians. We can come to church with our shirt and tie. We can shine our shoes. We can fix our hair. We can put the right cologne on or the right perfume on and assume that we have godliness and assume that we have God. But in reality, we're just nearly as pagan as the lost people are. We've got to understand that walking with God is a necessity, not a luxury. It's something that is required in our hearts and our lives if we're to be significant for God. It's something that's required if we're going to matter in our families, if we're going to lead our children to do right. It's something that's required. Too many of us, including myself at times, we try to live the Christian life without God. It doesn't work. it doesn't work. Praise God if you have the title of Christian. Praise God if you have not of this world put on your bumper as the sticker. Praise God if you wear Christian t-shirts everywhere you go. Praise God if you hold the Bible, but do you know the God of the Bible? Are you walking with him? Do you have an intimate time with him? Do you fellowship with him? Do you share your needs with him? Do you have answers to prayer on a daily basis? How is your relationship with God? By the way, our families need God. I work in the school, and let me say this. It's not getting any easier. It's not getting any easier. And I understand that since the Bible days, teenagers have always struggled with sin. But it doesn't help if sin is rampant in the home. It doesn't help. It doesn't help. It doesn't help if sin is placed on TV and movies and all that garbage is allowed in the home. Our kids are struggling enough as it is. It doesn't help that our children have devices that they can get on social media and do things in the secrecy of their bedroom or in the restroom or in the garage or in the backyard. That does not help. We need to get a hold of God in our homes, and it starts with the parents. It starts with the husbands. Be significant to your family. We understand that you're the breadwinner, and praise God for going out there and working hard 40 hours and overtime and all that stuff and bringing home the bread and bringing home the food. Thank you for that. But more than that, your family, they need to see God. They need that family devotion. They need more than just a scripture hung up on the walls. They need the scripture to come through your life. Are you significant for God? Your family needs it. Your children need it. And by the way, we don't just walk with God for our families. We should walk with God for our ministries. There, it's been said, and the illustration just came to me right now. I don't have it written down. I should have gotten the facts. I apologize for that. But I remember the story being said by pastor of a visiting missionary. I think it is, and correct me if I'm wrong, or some I believe it's a visiting missionary from foreign land. And he came over to America, and he observed American Christianity. And the greatest thing that caught his attention was the fact of how much American Christians are able to accomplish without God. I believe with all the organizational skills that we have, with all the books that teach us on how to run Sunday schools and how to run a church and how to run a bus route, if we're not careful, we try to do much of it without the power of God. I'm all for child-rearing books, and I'm all for trying to learn how to be a better parent, and I have a big stack of books that I need to get to reading them in to accomplish all that. But at the end of the day, the thing that my children need the most is a dad, and the thing that my wife needs the most is a husband that walks with God and has the power of God. The thing that those bus routes need the most is not a charismatic bus captain that can sing songs and has money to buy them candy and hot Cheetos and baby chicks. What that bus route needs is bus captain that knows how to get a hold of God and see something significant happen. That's what we need, is the power of God, but we'll never have it if we don't walk with him. Number one, see the cause. Do you see the cause that you are needed? Your family needs you. Your ministry needs you. Your church needs you. Number two, take the challenge. Verse number 31 and 32, if you'll follow with me, please. The Bible says, and when the words were heard which David spake, they rehearsed them before Saul, and he sent for him. And David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine. Up to this point, David made it very clear that he saw the need for somebody to stand up. And by the way, let me say this. Sometimes it's very easy to see the need. And sometimes it's very easy to see the cause. But it takes a real man or a woman of God not just to see the need or see the cause, but to step up and take the challenge. Number one, see the cause. Number two, take the challenge. David said, I'm not just going to evaluate the problem that we have, which is 9'6" and about 500 pounds or whatever he weighs, but I'm going to do something about it. I'm going to be the problem solver. And he took the challenge. We have problems in our families. We have problems in our ministries, but we need people willing to step up and take the challenge. Take the challenge. Many see the cause, but never take the challenge. Many of us are stirred but never changed, and this is me. How often has it happened that a sermon's preached, whether at our church or a youth conference or a youth camp, and tears are flowing down our cheeks and our faces, and we come down to the altar, and you can see puddles of water running down our clothing. Maybe sometimes it hits the carpet, and you're making decisions for God and the message, and God is stirring you. The Holy Spirit's working, but for whatever reason, all that happens is just that you get stirred, but when you go back to your seat and you go home, you never get changed. You never get changed. How many youth conferences is it going to take teenagers for you to commit a decision to God to get rid of that ungodly music and to get rid of that ungodly fashion? And how many tears are you going to shed at this altar when a man of God preaches only for you to go back to your seat or to go back to your friends or to go back to your families and forget about all the decisions you made? Think about it. That's why the teen workers around here encourage you to keep on that booklet. Hold on to that booklet and write your decisions in there. If anything, it's to encourage you and to remind you of decisions and the covenants that you made to God. Stirred, but never changed. Has that ever happened to you? Have you ever been motivated to be a better dad? And maybe you purchased a bunch of books, and maybe you purchased a bunch of marriage books to be a better husband, but you never started reading it? You never took the challenge? I encourage you, don't just see the cause. Don't just see the need. Don't just identify the problem. Anybody could do that. Be a part of the solution. Take the challenge. Please take the challenge in your families. Please take the challenge as a member of Pacific Baptist Church to help us finish that building financially, prayerfully, but go out there and help us work. We need to get this done. Help us with that, please. Number one, see the cause. Number two, take the challenge. And undertake the challenge. Let's look at verse number 33. The Bible says, "And Saul said to David, Thou art not able to go against the Philistine to fight with him, for thou art but a youth, and he a man of war from his youth." I wrote this point down, undertake the challenge. Don't let others tell you that you're not capable. Sometimes, like David, you're going to have this zeal and this desire to stand up when no one else is standing. But then there are going to be people in your life and maybe even in our church and maybe in your ministry, at your work or in your family that tells you, hey, you can't do it. I remember what you did 10 years ago. I remember the scars that you created for yourself. You can't be significant for God because of the failures you've had. Let me say something. If no one else is standing and God has put a desire in your heart, you keep on standing. You see that cause and you take that challenge and you accomplish something for the glory of God. Take the challenge. Who cares what people say? They're not doing anything about it. Don't let them discourage you. Don't let them discourage you. Praise God if God has restored your life from a broken life, from a life of scars, from a life of misery, but praise God that God has still instilled a desire in your heart to do something for him. Next point I'd like to share under take the challenge, and I'm pretty much 90% done here. Let's look at verse number 34 to 37. The Bible says, "And David said unto Saul, Thy servant kept his father's sheep. There came a lion and a bear and took a lamb out of the flock. And I went out after him and smote him and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard and smote him and slew him. Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he hath defied the armies of the living God." David said, "Moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine." And Saul said unto David, "Go, and the Lord be with thee." What I wrote under take the challenge is confidence from past battles are crucial in taking the challenges of today. Confidence from past battles are crucial in taking the challenges of today. Don't disregard the little battles that you're able to win today. Don't think that those are not significant. Every day that I drive down the freeway and I know of a billboard or I know some advertisement that's calling for my attention and calling for me to be lustful or calling for me to think something I shouldn't think, every single time that I'm able to know it and avoid it, I praise God for it and I cherish that victory because I know every little victory that I'm able to win, I can apply it toward future battles. And the same applies for you. If God has given you victories, write them down either on paper or in the corridors of your mind and your heart and use that confidence for future battles. One of the hardest times in my life, and many of you know this, was in 2011 when my mom went to the hospital. I never knew that I can cry like that. I never knew that I can hurt like that. I never knew that I can feel so broken like that. It's my mom. But I never knew I could feel that way. I remember that seeing her have her heart attack, it's one thing to get that phone call, but to see it transpire, it just messed me up for a very long time. It messed me up for a very long time. I already knew I had high blood pressure, but it never affected me because I was a young guy, and I thought I can kind of overcome it without medication. But it was a very shaky time. I recall praying and thinking about Pastor, how he used to mention that there are moments, I think when he was in Florida, that he really truly felt that he was going to die. And I remember chuckling a little bit. Seriously, Pastor, I've always known him to be strong. He wasn't going to die. He's just saying that to make a good sermon. It was a good sermon. But I remember him thinking that. And I remember thinking, I feel like I'm going to die. I remember Brother Vaughn would text me often, you come into school today, brother? I'm sorry. I don't think I can do that. I would shiver and I would shake and I would feel so stressed out and I would feel so scared. But the one thing that delivered me through all that is knowing that God brought many battles to me in the past that I was able to think about and muse on and grab confidence from those battles to know that if God delivered me in the past, God can deliver me now. And I'm here 3 years later to tell you that God has delivered me through the shakiest time of my life, all because of a bunch of small little battles. Hey, if you're going to lose a battle, don't lose those small ones. It's not worth it to look at that billboard. It's not worth it to go to that website. It's not worth it to tune into that TV channel. It's not worth it. You need those victories to give you confidence for the future. Please cherish those victories now. Number one, see the cause. Number two, take the challenge. And number three, and I'm done, finish the course. Finish the course. And I won't take time to read the rest of the story here, but you know the story. And if you're unfamiliar, basically David gets the permission to go and fight the giant. He grabs some smooth stones from a brook and he slings one of those stones round and round and round, and he slings it at Goliath, hits him dead center on the forehead, and he falls down flat. Now I believe David probably could have stopped right there. He probably could have said, this guy ain't getting up, man. With that little that knot in his forehead right now, there's no way he's getting up from that. But let's look at verse number 50. The Bible says, so David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling, with a stone, and smote the Philistine and slew him. But there was no sword in the hand of David. Therefore David ran and stood upon the Philistine and took his sword and drew it out of the sheath thereof and slew him and cut off his head therewith. And when the Philistines saw the champion was dead, they fled. Not only did David see the cause, not only did he take this incredible challenge of facing a giant, but he finished the course. He made sure that this giant would never come back to defy the armies of the living God. He went over there and he made sure of that by cutting off his head. How many of us start things, but we never set out to finish them? How many of us do that? And I'm guilty. It may be a project. Maybe those that are like to work on cars, you have an old car in your front yard and you had all these goals and aspirations to turn it into a classic, but it's continuing to grow mold on it and whatever else happens to cars, rust. And nothing's happening. It's not getting done. How many of you start projects with your children? Man, I'm going to do this with my son. Praise God. God, give me a son. I've been guilty of this. I don't know how many times I start off on puzzles and realize that I'm the only one doing this thing. Okay, this is not working, as Brother Myers alluded to the other day. And we never get to it. And the kid's 35 now. It's like, son, we're going to finish this. No. We start things. We should finish them. School. K-5. Wow, what an accomplishment. You've been 2 years in the school. Now you've got about a lot more, okay? I can't do the math right now. 12 more years of school. Make sure you finish. Many start school but never finish. College students, if there are any in here, you started school as a freshman. You had the goals to finish, but now somewhere down the line, you've justified it in your mind that you don't need to finish. By the way, I call that the sin of justification. You can justify just about anything. You can justify just about anything. If you started something, God wants you to finish it. Relationships, it's been said way back then when I found this statistic, and I'm sure it's a lot higher now, that 50% of marriages end up in divorce. People don't finish anymore. They find options. They look for a way out, and they justify, well, we just can't live together anymore, and this just ain't going to work. Well, they're not finishing. They're not finishing. Dads are walking out on their families. Their children are looking up to them and wanting dad to be involved in their lives or mom to be involved in their lives. But something has got God's attention, that dad's attention. Someone has got the parents' attention. And now they're not fulfilling their role. Their mind is elsewhere when it should be with their children. Finish. I'm not sure what it is that God has put in your heart to do to be significant for him. But I can guarantee you there's no greater feeling than feeling a value in your life for the cause of Christ. And maybe there's somebody here, and I'm closing now, that you're not saved. And the truth of the matter is, you can't be significant without Christ. You don't have Jesus in your heart. You came here to take some pictures and to celebrate a daughter or a son or a nephew or a grandchild. But deep down in your heart, you want to be significant too. You want to matter. Every day, 8 to 5 work just ain't fulfilling it. And you may get those overtime hours, a time and a half, and even occasionally double time. But that money is not making you feel significant. I want to encourage you, come to Christ. He'll make you feel significant. God has some plans for every one of us. But we've got to do our part to see the cause, take the challenge, and finish the course. Brother Myers, if you can close for us, please.
Thank you, Brother Chim. Let's pray together this evening.